78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another fun one on the show today. Yesterday, we did have some tech difficulties getting everything kind of up and running early on, but good news was, shout out to Chase Reed, those guys were able to get those press conferences played, which we needed to get to anyways. And I guess I got good news and bad news. Good news is we're up and rolling with the stream and everything. Per usual, bad news is my main setup still has not been fixed. I'm still trying to figure everything out. But we've got my laptop for backup in, obviously. We're rocking and rolling, so that's all that matters. Looking forward to diving into it. If you guys were tuned in yesterday, you heard my dad jumped on. First time we heard from him in quite some time. Obviously, we knew that was going to come, right? I mean, South Carolina week, house divided, right? He's a former Gamecock, big Alabama fan. Just let me remind you guys, he loves Alabama, but on this week, and he roots for Alabama every week except this one, and rightfully so. You know, he's in the Hall of Captains at South Carolina. Obviously, he's going to root for his team. Hell, if I had a son who went to, let's just say Florida, I don't know where why I thought of Florida, but let's say he went to Florida, I would cheer for Florida, except when they played Alabama, so I get it. Anyway, I say all that to say, he's kind of like an insider, right? Because, you know, he lives there. He's really close with the program, close with Shane Beamer. So it was interesting getting all his thoughts. And we actually ended up going overtime. We stayed on the stream past our slot here on the radio. And we ended up having literally probably 200 people in the room. And it was a great conversation. So if you missed that, our initial early preview of this game, me and my dad talking about it, going back and forth about it, you can check that out on yesterday's episode. The whole video we'll have the overtime included. So you got to go over to our YouTube to check that out at the Miller's Edge, but definitely some good conversations. Allegedly, some people were had some feathers ruffled, right? My dad gave his thoughts on this game. And so we're definitely going to talk about it. He said he's going to hop back on today. And I know some of the things we talked about after we got off the air, we definitely can bring back up today as we dive a little bit deeper into this matchup, right? You guys, if you're watching on the stream, welcome in, number one. Number two, you see the title, you see the thumbnail. Is it a trap game, right? We got that with a clear question mark, right? And the reason I say the question mark, I could understand if you label it a trap game. I'm not necessarily saying it's a trap game, but it's just a good talking point because a lot of people definitely do feel that way. And they definitely felt that way going into this season. At this point in time, not as much. And that's why I'm still kind of on the fence about it. I've been watching a lot of South Carolina tape. I've been able to see the Oklahoma game, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and there might have been one more. And let's just say, I mean, it's very interesting where the South Carolina team is at, right? And I'm going to dive into this a whole lot deeper as we go throughout the show, but just kind of get you guys a little bit of a preview from what I'm getting, right? I mean, they've got some good players. They've got a decent defense. I call them decent because they're not great, but they do some things well. They've got some good talent there. And they've got potential, but they haven't tapped into it. And then on the offensive side of the football, man, what a lot of people thought was going to be their vessel this year, what a lot of people thought was going to be able to take them and build off of what they did last year. Again, we're talking about a team in South Carolina that was just on the edge of making the college football playoffs. I mean, they're a good football team. We saw that when they traveled to Tuscaloosa. Lenora Sellers, really good football player. But unfortunately, this year, man, they have not been able to put it all together. And that's in large part due to a very, very, very bad offensive line unit that they have. Now, I talked to my dad yesterday. He claims there's definitely some injuries going on. And I did witness that. Saw different left tackles play in that Oklahoma game. But then you talk about this offensive line unit, man. It's one of the worst in the country. Literally second worst in terms of sacks given up. I think they've given up like 26 on the year, including 50 tackles for loss. So you're talking about an Alabama defensive line and unit that has been building on their pass rush, being a lot more disruptive as the year has gone on. I definitely think there's going to be plenty of opportunities for those guys up front in this game. I'll talk about that some more. But just overall, man, I mean, the South Carolina team has definitely been a disappointment. That said, these are those teams that you do have to be careful about. And the reason that is, I mean, look, when you're playing against a team that's kind of got their back against the wall, nothing to lose, right? It can spell danger sometimes if you don't address it the correct way. Look, you guys have heard me say this, and I'm not jumping the gun. I'm not trying to give out rat poison. On paper, hell, even on tape, everything points that Alabama should win this game and win it convincingly, right? And again, I'm not trying to spew rat poison. I'm just being honest, right? Just from watching our team and watching their team, man, they don't have the offense to keep up. While the defense does some good, and they're, again, they're a pretty decent unit. Not great. They're pretty good, though. I just don't see how a pretty good unit or a decent unit is going to magically come up with the answers to stop this offense after we've seen some actually really good defenses and they didn't have the answers. So really, logically, it doesn't really bode well for South Carolina. That's just a fact, right? Not numbers-based, but tape-based, everything included. That said, I still feel like there are some ways that they could find themselves in this football game, and I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on throughout the show because we got plenty of time to do that. Real quick before we hit our first time out, got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys check them out if you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. They will take care of it. I'm telling you, they've been taking great care of me the past couple of years. Literally, man, it's as easy as putting these in your shoes, boots, whatever the case may be, whatever the occasion is, it doesn't matter. They will go right there and anything that you have on your feet and they will get to work. So make sure you guys check that out. Plus, also check out Good Feet Kick for Cash. That was a tongue twist right there. Good Feet Kick for Cash. Check them out. If you want a chance to win free money, everybody likes free money, make sure you guys check out Good Feet Kick for Cash. You sign up, name, email, is that simple, and you get a chance to be entered in that contest. If you do get selected, you go and kick field goals, right? 10, 20, 30, with a chance to win up to, I think it's $1,000 or $2,000. I'm drawing a blank right here. But even if you don't make any field goal, you still walk away with a gift bag from the Good Feet Store. So make sure you guys do that again, Good Feet Kick for Cash. .com. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Quick timeout. We come back. We jump into the conversation. Again, we will discuss in depth this Alabama-South Carolina game. Is it a trap game? Yes, no. Want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number. Just give me your thoughts on this game. Allegedly, people had some thoughts on me and my dad's conversation, so I would love to hear from you. And let us know those thoughts. Not other people. Let us know right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
There's in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, we're going to dive into a little bit of the conversation about, is it a trap game, is it not? But first, I wanted to talk a little bit more about South Carolina in general, just by watching them and kind of what I've gathered, right? I spent a lot of time watching the offense, so I'll focus more on them right now. Then we'll pivot more towards the defense here in a little bit, and worst case, even a little bit more tomorrow. We got plenty of time. It's only Wednesday. We still got tomorrow. We got Friday, so... That being said, here's some things that here's kind of like my initial thoughts after watching South Carolina's offense. They're led by the North Sellers, who we all know, one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country. Not really playing like it right now, but I'll explain why there's a good reason to that. But in terms of just, I mean, all the tools that he has, I mean, I feel like he's, you know, been much better as a passer, even though he has shown some moments of inaccuracy this year. I still think compared to last year, he's taken strides there. I mean, he's a physical specimen. You're talking about a dude, I mean, probably pushing 250 pounds. I think he's like 6'5". Let me pull up his actual numbers. 6'4", 6'5", but I mean, dude is a tank. Actually, they got him listed as 6'3", 240. So I was probably off by a couple inches. But I'll be honest with you, I mean, like seeing him, he's a big dude. And we saw that last year. He's tough to bring down. He's a physical guy, but he's fast as well. I mean, he's probably one of like the, I mean, when you talk about building a prototype quarterback, like big, strong, he's got height, but he's fast. He's physical. He's got all that. He's got all those tools. But what he doesn't have is the tools around him. The South Carolina's offensive line is they're very bad. I mean, one might even say abysmal. Their interior offensive line on tape has been, I mean, so disappointing. Their center is bad. Their guards are bad. I genuinely believe LT Overton, when he's working that 3 and 4 eye, right, when he's on some, you know, matched up on some of those guards, work on the inside, which he does most of the time. Sometimes you see him, you know, out in a 5, but for the most part, 4 eye, 3 technique, which in a 4 eye sometimes depends on where, you know, whatever the path is or kind of what, what they're called, what they're doing defensively can change. Sometimes he might be a little bit more, end up out for contain on a tackle. But what I'm getting at is when he's matched up on these guards, I think a guy like him should have a field day. I mean, he should have a field day. James Smith as well. Hell, even 90, even Simmons, man. I think there's a lot of opportunities for big plays made. Oklahoma, which they have a really good defense, especially their front. We all know that. They've got great players up front. I want to say they had maybe 6 sacks and a number of tackles for loss. I mean, and a lot of it was coming from the interior. At least a lot of that pressure was. They're very disruptive on the inside. Their tackles aren't much better. Their left tackle, they had 74 in there initially with Oklahoma. He's susceptible to power, right? He's a taller, a little bit lankier guy. And they subbed him out. I don't know if he got hurt or whatever the deal was. They put 55 in a big guy who had, I mean, some of the slowest feet, like he was walking in mud. I mean, so I really think, I mean, then you talk about Yonze coming off a 3-sack performance. Hell, that I had that in my career, and I can just tell you that definitely gets you chomping at the bit. You know, when you have a big performance like that, I mean, you get start getting greedy. You want more. I think we have a chance to really have another big day up front because their offensive line is just bad. I mean, Lenore, and even outside of just the sacks, the plays, I mean, like, the number of times this dude is running for his life, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I would argue probably 60, 70% of the time this guy is under pressure, which is terrible. So I understand he's not as good as he is. He's not playing great this year. The poor guy has hardly anything to work with. In terms of on the outside, the running game is, I mean, they're like dead last. And really offensive, they're like dead last in almost every category. Passing, running game, scoring. Matter of fact, all those are dead last, except I think passing game, they might be 14th out of 16. So that's not much better. Skill guys, they've got Nick Harbor, former track guy, tall, long speed, you know what I mean? Like a vertical threat type guy. They do try to get him the ball in other situations, jet sweep, screen game, just to get him the football and let him try to make plays. But this guy, he's not a route runner. Again, he's not a natural receiver. I mean, he's a track guy. So it's not like he's threatening you with a whole bunch of intermediate routes or anything like that. He really is out there to take the top off the defense or get the ball, you know, on the perimeter and just hopefully, you know, beat you with speed, right? Off a screen, jet sweep, whatever the case would be. Outside of that, man, there's just not much really going on for their offense. I think their running back is the guy that they were waiting to see if he would have that extra year of eligibility. And I think they finally got him back. Is it Faison maybe? But a decent player, but it's nothing like, I mean, like the amount of guys that we played, you know, Bishop from Tennessee, you know, the two backs from Missouri, right? I mean, like, hell, even the young guys from Florida State that we, I mean, like, I feel like all those guys are more threats as backs. So what I'm getting at is, again, on tape, on paper, just focusing on their offense and our defense, man, like, I just don't really see them having an answer. I mean, they really struggle to put points on the board. Even when they were down on the Reds in the goal line, I want to say twice with Oklahoma. First time they got stopped, they were held scoreless. They tried running the ball, I think, at least 2 or 3 times. Those got stopped. They tried to pass it on fourth down. Guess what happened? Pressure got to him before he even had a chance. And what I will say is there's saving grace. This guy's so big and physically gifted that he eludes a lot. The fact that they've given up 26 sacks second to last, is a blessing. They should, they probably should have given up 35 plus, but the fact that this dude is able to shake off defenders and use his speed to elude and evade helps him out. And that's just telling you how bad they've been. The fact that I'm watching him avoid 3, 4, 5 other sacks in the game, but they still gave up 6. And so again, I'm not trying to spew out rat poison. I'm just telling you guys from what I've seen on tape. That's why I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm not really calling it a trap game, but why could some people consider it one? Well, here's the thing. When your back's against the wall, right, we know things can be different. My dad was talking about Mike Shula, and he's not wrong. I mean, the play calls, it's bad play calling. You're talking about you got that guy gifted at the quarterback position, and you don't have much help in terms of the skill guys or other stuff going on. The least you could do is try to at least get him involved as much as possible. I don't even think they're running the guy as much as they should. So his comments about Mike Shula were spot on. I mean, the dude is not calling a good game for those guys right now. And there's a reason. And I thought he was joking about the students marching about getting rid of him. He wasn't lying. I saw it on Twitter after we got off the show. They literally had college students marching, protesting to get rid of him. Now, I don't call for people's jobs. I'm not sitting here to do that. I'm just saying, after watching the tape, I think the play calling is pretty damn bad, too. Their running game is very vanilla, hence probably why it also struggles outside of their line being bad. A lot of inside zone, split zone. I mean, occasional zone read and RPO game. But other than that, I mean, it's very, I don't know, very underwhelming. That being said, so at least focusing on this side, what would make this a trap game, or what would maybe happen in this game that they could cling on to give them a chance? Well, it would be their quarterback, right? And although he's running for his life and hadn't been able to really have that moment just yet where he really just finds a way to overcome all those challenges, if you don't find a way to get this guy on the ground, or you let him start extending plays and moving the ball and just finding, just making things out of nothing, you could find yourself in some trouble. And then that is something that could potentially happen. I think the way our defense has been playing, I feel a lot better about it. I know we talk about the struggling with dual threat quarterbacks, which, you know, a lot of people do that. But I guess, you know, you look at Alabama, you look at Florida State, and a little bit with Diego Pavia. That's definitely a very solid point. And this guy, to me, is different than both those guys because he's bigger, a little bit more like straight line speed, but he's still quick. He's still fast. And he's definitely a lot more physical than those guys. That being said, I mean, if they were to just find a way to just get him so involved and he just was having, you know, playing out of his mind and we just couldn't find an answer for him, I could see them, you know, proposing some more challenges and then making this game a lot more difficult. But watching Oklahoma play them, watching Missouri play them, they just haven't been able to do just that yet. Maybe they find a way with their backs against the wall with Alabama coming to town. I think it's homecoming. Maybe there's some resurgence and they have this motivation out of nowhere and they figure something out. But I don't see it. And that's why, even just looking at these two offenses, right, we talked about Tennessee. Well, their defense is okay, but their offense, maybe they'll go toe-to-toe with ours. Even the top-ranked offense wasn't able to do that with us last week. So you're telling me South Carolina is supposed to be able to do that this week? I said this Monday and I'll say it again. We would have to play uncharacteristic to really find ourselves in a bad spot in this game. What does that look like? Not having an answer for Lenora Sellers, right? Like getting pressure back there, but kind of like what it looked like last year, right? Like you're getting pressure on him, but he's breaking tackles, he's extending plays, he's getting first downs, using his legs, stuff like that. They find a way to take the top off and, you know, make explosive plays. Maybe it's a gadget play. Maybe it's, you know, Harbor just down the field. Somebody has bad eyes. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And then on the other side, and I'll talk about this more, but definitely, you know, turnovers. I will say this. Their defense, one of the reasons their defense is, I call them a pretty good unit, is the fact that they're able to force turnovers. I want to say they forced like 12 turnovers. I think they're like right there neck and neck with us in terms of forcing turnovers. If they can find ways to do that, which again, that would be uncharacteristic for us. Why? Because we've done a really good job of protecting the football. Matter of fact, we have one of the best turnover margins in college football. I think it's at 9, right? I think we had 12 on defense and technically 3. 1 interception, maybe 2 fumbles lost. That said, that would be uncharacteristic of us. But say we go on the road, we're undisciplined, things come up and we turn the ball over. That could maybe give them some life. But again, without those kind of just things going so great for them and going bad for us, not trying to spew rat poison, but after watching several games, man, I'm feeling pretty damn confident. Curious to what my dad has to say when he gets on here, and I'm sure he'll be joining us soon. But let's do this. Let's get into a timeout. I know we got to get back on schedule. When we come back, we'll continue breaking this down. I know we got to get to the teleconference from today, right? Head coach Kalen DeBoer is speaking to the media. Matter of fact, I think he's doing it probably right about now. I think he's scheduled at 11:30. So we'll get that in the second hour. I know Ty Simpson and other players spoke to the media yesterday. We also want to listen to those, hear what they had to say, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Ty 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Bryant Conference Center. Explore local shops, artists, and restaurants all in one place. Free admission, presented by Visit Tuscaloosa and Premier Service Company.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear.
And Sports Radio Tide 100.9.
And 1230 AM WTBC.
Are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com.
On the app
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
With two locations in Tuscaloosa.
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so we definitely just took a big focus on South Carolina's offense. I don't have a whole bunch of time to do their defense right now, so I'll probably end up just reading some of these messages that we have on here. We are open on the phone lines, I believe, 205-342-9904. I'm surprised because, again, allegedly, this is what I heard, is that some people had some comments on my dad's comments about the game yesterday, which always funny. People always got all these damn comments and stuff they want to say, but they never want to call in and discuss stuff. I don't understand. The phone lines are open anytime. If anybody ever has anything they want to debate or discuss, you can disagree. That's literally part of it. That's literally what makes sports radio. I'll never understand when people go, oh, we heard something that we didn't like or agree with, and we're just going to sit there and cry about it on another show or something else instead of just talking about it. leaving a message, like, do it. That's what sports radio is about, debate. It's about going back and forth. It's about nobody's ever going to have the same opinion on anything. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand that. So again, if anybody ever has anything that they're like, oh man, I don't agree with that, either turn the show off or stop being scared and call in and just talk about it. We love to talk about it. Anyway, and that wasn't about anything I said. I guess whatever my dad was talking about, South Carolina. And obviously, with him being a Gamecock, he knows that they're not supposed to win this game. He already knows. He said that. But he's going to try to, you know, point in the direction of, all right, well, this could be an issue. This could be a factor if you allow it. And I'm glad to have a different opinion. I don't want to talk with somebody who has the same damn opinion as me all the time. That's boring. That makes for boring radio. It's good when we go back and forth. I don't understand some people sometimes. All right, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Carson up first. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you, bro?
I'm just watching all this junk on the media. I mean, I don't know, dude. There's a lot of weirdos out there, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, especially coming into this game, and I don't know, some of the coverage on the Tennessee game, I really just kind of was like, how did you get that from that? You know, even on like popular channels, man. And I don't come on your show to talk to complain. I really don't. But it's like a lot of people bashing us, man, talking about how we gave up. I don't know if it's just Tennessee fans. I don't know what's going on, but I'm like, we gave up a lot of stats in that game. They're saying, well, you know, I saw some talking points of like, well, Alabama gave up a ton of these stats and they still won the game. And I'm like, yes, but like, why did we give up those stats? Because we were up 16 points in the fourth quarter. We weren't like, it wasn't like we, I don't know. And then they said, oh, well, I'm worried about the penalties too. Like late in the game. I'm like, did you watch the game? Like, those are pride penalties, man. Like, those are just like not giving up the touchdown. Like I'm really impressed with what we've done defensively, like especially guys stepping into roles, playing well. I mean, look, they're still growing to do, and that's the encouragement. That's like, you know, look, we can be better than what we've been, but overall, man, just not giving up touchdowns. Like when the field shrinks, man, we play our best defense. And I mean, that's granted, like that's situationally, right? Like if it's off of a fumble, right? Like, or if they start with a short field, you know, you kind of have to box that into a different category. But like when the field shrinks, like we play better defense, like red area defense, I'd say, or red is pretty good. And like those contribute to the stats that matter, which is points on the scoreboard. So we've done a really good job with that. I think overall, coming into this game, it initially reminded me of the Oklahoma game last year, where you don't really know what you're going to get. Like, they had nothing to lose because they had struggled so much with a lot of injuries. And, you know, coming into the game, they weren't performing very well. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to win, they could beat us. Because I've watched them, too, and I just don't think they have enough, even if they put together a good game plan. And I really just don't think they have the dudes right now to do it, especially on the O-line. Even defensively, they've gotten some injuries back there. So yeah. I don't think they can, but – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I agree with that, like to me, I think it all boils down to this, right? I mean, I said it, you know – number of times, but literally all they have offensively really is you got Lenore Sellers. Everything goes through him and he can't be his full self without the help up front, which I don't see them magically fixing that. But yes, I mean, could he extend plays and make guys miss and find ways to just really, you know, grind it out and make some stuff? Sure. But would that even be enough to keep up with what we've shown we're capable right. of offensively? And the answer to that, in my opinion, is no. I mean, there's no way you look at that offense and think, even if it got to a point, like say say our defense did struggle with him and he was able to make some plays and put some points on the board, whatever, is that still enough to keep up with what our offense has shown to do? And then in talking about their defense, yes, they've forced some turnovers, but outside of that, they're pretty average. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they've got bad. Good players. Dylan Stewart, he could be a game changer 100%. But I do know when you put on, you know, chips and stuff like that, and you're finding ways to try to neutralize some of that. The fact that we went against Zion Young and Damon Wilson, two guys, with South Carolina 46, he's a pretty good edge guy himself. But we handled that Missouri game like, yeah, you know, they made their plays. That's expected. You're going against two really good edge guys. But it still wasn't really enough to have a huge effect and stop Ty from literally driving the ball down the middle of the field and hitting those whole shots and just dissecting the defense. And to me,
right,
I just don't see this defense from South Carolina being the first to do it. Could it happen if everything falls in their favor and we show up with our head out, you know, out of the game, whatever? Sure, but I just think it's unlikely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, like,
there was one stat that I was reading that was a really cool matchup between what we do and what they do. I think they're last in third down stops, like conversion rate. They're last in the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, or one of the bottom. And, like, in the 100 teams, like 1/16th in the country on third down stops, and we're like top 10 in the country on third down efficiency offensively. So that's a pretty telling stat of what you expect. But, you know, look, the Oklahoma game last year, the reason why it reminded me of that is because it almost felt like Brent Venables was coaching for his job, and they got a little bit inspired and put together a game plan where it had to be. Like, I don't think we game planned for Jackson Arnold, quarterback Reed, all game. You know, I don't know if that was on the film, but because just the sample size. And so I feel like if Mike Shula's coaching for his job, we can get an intense game plan and a level of execution that they may not have shown. But then again, it falls back onto personnel. And I just don't think that even if that is the case, I still don't know how. Just like, on the other hand, we're coming into this game in a completely different place than where we were last year. So not to like, my point is not like all knowing and the complete truth. It just kind of gave me those vibes where it's like, if a coach is coaching for his job and, you know, you're trying to get a one game, you're in a one game season, you know, and you got to put together the best plan. That's the reason why it kind of reminded me of that. Because I think those coaches at South Carolina, their backs might be against the wall a little bit, at least Mike Shula. So,
yeah, no, but, and that's a good point. I mean, that's why I mentioned that thing yesterday, too. Like, you're going against a team like that, they don't really have anything to lose, but everything to gain. Hell, Mike Shula has history with this school, right? I mean, best believe, I mean, they're going to try to give us their best shot. They're going to pull stuff out that we haven't seen. They're going to try to find things to expose without a doubt. And even though I sound overly confident, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be shocked if this ends up being a one-score type game just because, you know, they find ways to stay in it. Like, I'm not doubting this team like that, but I'm just being completely honest. The type of football team that we are and what we have compared to what they have, you know, they have some good players, but they have yet to put it all together. Not even close.
Right.
That's how it should go. But I also know how football works. And there's a lot of times, and we know this as good as anybody from last year. Vanderbilt shouldn't have been able to beat us last year, but they did. So, I mean, anything can happen, but we'll have to see Saturday. But yeah. After watching them, like I've watched them, man, like I'm almost just in disbelief. I'm just like, man, like what happened to these guys? They were a good group last year. I mean, like, when they played us last year, I was like, damn. Their defense was great. Well, they were flying around. They had some good players. I know my dad talked about they lost a number of guys to the league, but they're just not. I thought they would have been able to build off last year, but unfortunately that hadn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the league though, right? Because, look, they did. Like, having Kennard on the other side of Dylan Stewart and Dylan Stewart being a pup, like, as a freshman, helped a lot. I mean, he was – was it Kennard SEC Defensive Player of the Year or whatever it – I don't know what award he won, but having both of them was the benefit. Also having Iwamori, the safety, and losing a lot of guys on defense that are older And then on top of that, add in the injuries to what they had this year. And then, like, offensively, it just doesn't match up. Like, Nick Harbor, like you said, sprinter, you know, track speed, really fast guy. But if you don't have an offensive line, that you're, like, you can't take these shots if you can't shut up the play action pass. And one thing also that I said, I think I said it to you this summer talking about South Carolina, was losing Rocket Sanders, that running back. He was really the physicality that they needed, where he covered up a lot of their offensive line gaps last year, where it was his sheer physicality. Where, I mean, I think he was number one in broken tackles in the SEC last year. And I think, like, that was the identity, and it started with that. And I said, losing Rocket Sanders is going to hurt them more than unless they can replace it. And it's not the end all, you know, like, of course you have Lenore Sellers. Of course you have other things that you do well, but that factor of their offense where you have a running back who's 230 pounds who can break tackles and get through all of the junk when those gaps close. And I just thought, like, dang, they're losing that. And people might not be worried about that, but I think that's a bigger deal than what people think. But, yeah, I mean, look, this coaching staff, before I go, I'll say this coaching staff, I trust them now. They've been winning the chess matches, and not all the time, but when it matters, they've been winning the chess matches. And I think that the game within the game, they're doing it at an elite level right now. So if we prepare like we've been preparing, and we bring the intensity like we've been bringing, this game is business as usual. It'll be belt for four quarters.
Yeah, no, I agree. And your point about the coaching staff. No, I definitely feel we're in a much better place now, given, like, you know, they're about a year and a half in now. They know what to expect. They've played these teams now. They know what it's like playing on the road in the SEC. They know what it's like going through a gauntlet and playing back-to-back-to-back games against good competition in the SEC. It's evident that their approach is completely different. And I was saying earlier on the show on the stream, like, you know, I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but being up at the, you know, the practices and around the facility last year, I'm just going to be honest, I think Coach DeBoer is a little too laid back. I mean, and look, yeah. It's year one. He's still trying to figure everything out himself, and it makes sense. But, and if you don't believe me, I mean, just listen to Deontay Lawson yesterday. He made the comment, Coach DeBoer is, you know, evolving, right? And we're getting used to that. Like, that literally is saying, yeah, he's kind of, you know, changed his persona a little bit. And I think that was needed. And I think because these guys are feeding off of it. We say it all the time. You take on the persona of your head coach. And when you see your head coach smacking pads and not afraid to jump on guys and bring him more of an edge, the players are naturally going to play with an edge versus when he's a little bit more laid back and when things go bad and he's kind of just a little bit more calm demeanor, the guys naturally are just going to kind of take that on too. So I'm with you on that as well. Carson, we appreciate you, man. Great stuff as always, brother.
Of course, man. Thank you for taking my call, buddy.
Absolutely, man. Be easy, bro. Good deal. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. We're going to do it a little early because we're going to stack breaks, get back on schedule. But good stuff from Carson. When we come back, we'll continue breaking down this matchup. I got some tape pulled up. So if you guys want to check that out, you guys know where to go. At the Miller's Edge on YouTube, completely free. Just ask. You drop a like on the video and subscribe. And you can also watch the streams as well on the Facebook page of Tide 100.9. But if you don't care about that, don't worry. Stay tuned on the radio, Tide 100.9. You guys already know that whole deal. Plus, download that app completely free, Tide 100.9, on the Google Play Store, Apple App Store, all that good stuff as well. Top of the hour break. We'll be right back after a quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll continue our Southern Ohio score prediction day. Alabama, South Carolina. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst, right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program. The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
Better inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
On the NBA's opening night, Oklahoma City won in double overtime against Houston, 125-124, 35 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Kevin Durant with 23 in the loss. He fouled out late, fouling SGA, who then hit the game-winning free throws. Golden State won in L.A. against the Lakers, 119-109, although L.A.'s Luka Doncic did have 43 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. Vikings quarterback Carson Wentz will start again Thursday night at the Chargers. Texas A&M was fined $50,000 by the SEC conference for faking an injury last Saturday. The Angels' new manager is Kurt Suzuki. The Halos have the major's longest current playoff drought. The World Series starts Friday night. LA will go with Blake Snell in Game 1 at Toronto. Yoshinobu Yamamoto will pitch Game 2 for the Dodgers on Saturday. In the NHL, Utah in overtime beat Colorado. LA won in OT at St. Louis.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A delightful fall day today with a sunny sky. The high for this afternoon around 71. Very cool tonight, clear with the low at 44. The weather looks good tomorrow and Friday. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 75 and 78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down. It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this week. Goodfeet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we've been discussing this South Carolina game, really talking about their offense a whole lot, right? I'll get to their defense here in a little bit. We got some phone calls, got the teleconference, some other things you want to dive into, but and maybe we'll do it tomorrow. But piggybacking off of that, because we got a question right here I'll hit while I'm staring at it. How does this South Carolina team compare to last year's team? Carson made a good point. The running game last year was a lot better than what it is right now. Faison is a guy they have as their starter. Transferred in from, where did he come from? Maybe Virginia, or I can't remember where he came from. But anyway, Rocket Sanders they had last year, a lot more physical type of back. Thought he was probably better fit for the way they just try to run the football downhill at you with a lot of those inside zones. But that's a big difference. The running game is not great. Last year, they ran the ball pretty well against it. If I'm not mistaken, I know Lenoris had a number of yards as well. So I think the biggest thing is offensively looking at that, their offensive line, I feel like, played much better last year. And when I watched them play us last year, their offensive line was actually doing a damn good job up front. This year, it's bad. So I would say really the biggest issue right now, it's not Lenoris. I mean, the biggest jump on offense, I guess, or the biggest issue has been the offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing right now. And then defensively, they lost a lot of guys. Last year, Carson also mentioned, I mean, Dylan Stewart is their top guy. I mean, he's one of the most talented edge guys in the country, without a doubt. But they also had the transfer from Georgia Tech, I think it was, who was, like, I think he led the conference in sacks last year. So they had a nice tandem off the edges. They had some good quality defensive tackles as well, physical guys that played really well. Their linebackers were older, like veteran-type guys, so they just were smart football players and did a really nice job. They're physical. They did force a lot of turnovers last year, I believe, and they're still doing that part. But they also lost some of their guys in the background. I know Kilgore is back, and he's a good player, but and they got a couple other guys in the back, and their secondary is decent for sure. But they did lose that big safety, Luminora. I can't remember how to pronounce it, but they lost him. I think he was like a first, second round pick. He was a really good player as well. But anyway, that would be my answer. Rocket Sanders being gone, that physical back, again, they do a lot of inside zone stuff like that. And then you're talking about complimenting Lenora Sellers. I think that's been a big hit, and they're just offensive line in general. The offensive line last year was much better compared to this year. Defensively, I mean, there's definitely a drop, but it's not like as drastic as the offensive side of the football. So that's probably how I would compare them now to last year. Let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, Chris, how's it going today?
What's up, Smitty? I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, first things first, Shane Beamer, go ahead and take that Virginia Tech job while you can. You go ahead and before that, they won't fire you. Yeah, and it showed like a lot of these coaches' openings. Why would some of these coaches they look at leave their jobs with 8-4 or even at the Vanderbilt job, 6-6 won't get you fired, to go to these jobs where they'll fire you and go 9-3? I'll stay where I'm at, you know, and enjoy life, just being real. But with South Carolina, you got to, and that's one of the things about having big portal classes that come to bite you behind, because you got to get guys the next year. Like Cal Kennard was a one-year guy, or Rocket Sanders was a one-year guy, and you have to hope to hit on that. But what people got to understand about the portal, you can only take what the portal gives, and also there are other teams competing for those same players as well.
That's true. No, that's true. They've had a lot of guys leave. They've had a lot of guys come in. I mean, two of their linebackers are former Alabama guys, and Sean Murphy and Okoronkwo.
Okoronkwo.
And then,
yeah.
Then they've got, is it Goodwine? I think he was a defensive tackle that transferred from here as well. But you're right. They've, you know, and last year they had that thing too. They had a lot of guys leave last year, but a lot of guys come in, and it seemed like last year benefited them a little bit more than it did this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's just the hard part of the portal, you know. But one thing about this game, personally with me, I look at it as an NFL game. Let's say Buffalo played the Dolphins. The Dolphins stink, but they'd be like, hey, Buffalo hanging on the win. Do you think Buffalo fans are crying or their coaching staff or their players? No. I just want Alabama to win the game. Because it's kind of like, to me, this is a scheduled game where you play these tough, physical, emotional games. And it's the last one. Or it's kind of the NBA where the three games or four nights, that last game, you play the worst team in the league and they give you problems. That's just what I look at. And I just think at the end of the day, just win the game. I'd rather folks complain that they don't win, didn't win by enough than lose the game, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, I mean, I think that's kind of where we're at in college football as well, too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you expect to just go blow everybody out in today's game, especially in this conference, man. I mean, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people on the outside, the Danny Cannells, all these other people, they're hard-headed, and they try to mock the SEC and make it seem like, oh.
Ohio State fans.
And the people are just, right. Big Ten, you know, obsessors or ACC guys like Danny Cannell, but they have no idea until you've actually lived it. Right. I mean, when you're in this conference week in and week out, man, these teams, we just beat up on each other. I mean, look at it. You got Missouri and Vanderbilt, or Missouri going to Auburn. Who? Auburn, they don't play great all the time, but they've got a good front. Like, they've got good players. Like, and it's going to be a dogfight. They might not have been winning these games, but they're due to give you a good fight. And you got to do that week in and week out. And it's just not easy. So, a win is a win. And then even look at Coach Saban's last couple of years. I mean, we haven't been blowing people out consistently or consecutively, probably going back to like 2020-ish, maybe. Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, after that year, I feel like it kind of slowly started, the margins were shrinking a little bit, which is, you know, expected, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, because at 2021, Bryce Young had to put up 500 yards to beat Arkansas at home. You know, it just shows how different the game is. And with the evolution of the game, it shows that coaching and quarterback really matters. Because you may not have your fastball. Look at Miami. Great on both lines of scrimmage. Got good talent on the outside. But the coach, not an X's and O's guy. Mm-hmm. Carson Beck would turn the ball over. That will lose you a game. And I think this showing, like, with this staff, and I still think they're growing, you know, and the players, these young players are growing. But it shows that these guys can coach a close game. They know how to manage a game. And I think with DeBoer, part of me thinking he's comfortable being himself now. Because I think with the dynamics of taking his job, because a lot of Bama fans didn't watch Washington games. I did because I live in Phoenix and I was up at night. But he had emotion then, but it's not going to have the emphasis of it as you coach at an SEC school with intensity, the media, from the media and the fans. But I think the problem was you take it on a job that no one ever had to take on behind that Coach Saban. And you had so many people say they want to do it this way or Saban would have done it this way. Why didn't you hire a Saban guy? And I believe now he's just like, hey, y'all gonna get rid of me, I'm gonna do it my way. And I say this, I commend Greg Byrne for not getting a Saban guy, because it would be like the New England, these folks hiring Belichick assistants, and they're not failing because they're trying to be Belichick. And I think this staff has done a good job. Is it perfect? No, we give up too many cash runs. But at the same time, they recruiting very well. The players play for them. And they do a good job of managing the game as well. And I think that's something I've been happy with. Like I said, just win the game Saturday. That's all I care about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, I think if you watch Washington, I mean, they played a lot of really close games as well. I'm not saying that's necessarily a characteristic of Coach DeBoer, but I mean, that was something they did at Washington. But again, I think it's all about perspective. And I think if you look at it from the perspective that he's shown that he can win the tight ones. Yeah, you might play tight ones more frequently, but the good news is he's typically pretty successful in those situations and those moments. And I think we're seeing why. I mean, they're not afraid to be aggressive, but they do it strategically. They're smart with their aggression, right? I mean, they're not just calling stupid stuff. I mean, I guess the arm punt one on that 4th-and-1, I mean, maybe I could have said, I would have thought about something different there. But still, other than that, when they're aggressive, man, we're very successful, right? So it works out.
Yeah.
Can't fault them. I mean, they get paid a lot of money to do that job.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I believe they have confidence in this team, in their players, and it shows. And I think, like with Ty, how this guy's developed. And I don't think we knew he'll be a good player, but I don't think any of us saw this coming from him pre-snap, like knowing where to go with the ball at that level. And but at the same time, and I think that translates to recruiting also, because you got these guys like, hold on, they developed Ty, they developed, like, Milroe's a third-round pick in the league. And that's up to the sneeze at if you're a third-round pick. And just getting drafted is a win and a blessing.
Absolutely.
And then Michael Penix and Jake Haner, who's on the Saints. So, and like, I got a question for you, and I'll take it off the air. Looks like they may be training for two quarterbacks this cycle. They took two last cycle. With the way the portal is now and the way the football is now, as long as you're honest with these guys, wouldn't it be ideal to take two if you could because of the potential turnover of the position?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, we definitely let me sit on that. We got to hit this break, and I'll definitely answer that one. Smitty, I appreciate you, bro. That's a good question. We'll definitely talk about that.
All right, peace, man. You have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Yeah, you are. He is right, though. I mean, we did take two this most recent one, and then looks like we definitely could have two in 27. So it's a good point to bring up. We'll tackle that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Plus, we got more phone calls to get to. Ricky, Seth, I see you.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A delightful fall day today with a sunny sky. The high for this afternoon around 71. Very cool tonight, clear with the low at 44. The weather looks good tomorrow and Friday. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 75 and 78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, we've been talking a whole bunch about this South Carolina matchup. Could it be a trap game? Right? Maybe, maybe not. I gave you my thoughts. I've put on some tape. I've showed you a lot about South Carolina's offense, kind of some things to expect. I guess I didn't really talk about how you defend that, right? We didn't really dive too deep into that. So maybe we will here in a minute. But I know we got callers, right? And I want to keep going to you guys. 205-342-9904. We got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, y'all?
Man, can't complain, bro. How's everything?
Man, it's good. I'm just on my way to a different location on set, and I figured I can call in between. So,
love it.
I wanted to ask. Well, because I thought your dad was right yesterday, but I also thought he was wrong yesterday. So, yes, do I think it's a trap game? Yes, but I think that's because of the brand more so than, like, you know, a team is, like, underrated and, like, they've been, like, looking. I think everybody brings their best, like, against Alabama. However, I do agree with him that with that Tennessee game, I thought it was a bad performance by Tennessee, and they kind of let the game get away from them versus us, like, straight up beating them. Because I watched the game again, and I thought to myself, like, there's some drop passes, a little bit of bad quarterback play. If they don't make those mistakes, like, that game could have easily, like, went either way.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned that, because, again, it's not hating or it's not sounding – because even I'm saying that. I'm agreeing with you, and that's coming from a former Bama player. Obviously, I mean, I'm all – about Alabama, but when you analyze it, I do agree. Tennessee, they definitely did not do themselves any favor with a lot of that stuff. I know people are going to obsess over the play call on, you know, the one or the two, whatever yard line they were on, the interception, but all those drops, right? I mean, again, they would be driving the football down the field, and hell, they had a number of penalties, you know, a man downfield, like they were dealing with a lot of those issues you know what I'm saying? That directly, you know, shoot yourself in the foot and then put yourself backwards. So, no, you're not wrong by saying that. I still thought, I mean, we did a lot of good stuff in there. And I definitely highlighted that, but there's nothing wrong with also pointing out they definitely didn't play a great, clean game themselves. Nothing wrong with saying that.
Well, no, like, and that's what that's kind of what I thought, like, and even that play call where Xavier Brown intercepted it and ran out all the way back, I didn't think that was a bad play call. I thought it was just bad quarterback play.
Some could argue bad call, knowing that obviously you're in, jumbo formation and it's evident you have to throw the football. But still, like you just said, I mean, who knows? Sometimes you can try to hit people with reverse psychology. Everybody, we're all saying, yeah, it's obvious they have to pass, but maybe they just say, screw it. We know they're thinking that. Let's actually run the football. We don't get it. Who cares? But we'll at least try. But like you said, I think the bigger issue that people don't talk about is the pass itself.
Right.
Really was not good.
It's only a bad play because it didn't work out. Had it worked, like, everybody's like praising Eiffel for it. It's kind of like a couple years ago when we talked about the Rose Bowl and that last play. After you guys came back the next day and said, you know what, that's not really a bad play call. We just didn't execute right. At the end of that Rose Bowl play to tie the game again and go into another overtime or either second or third overtime. Like, I just think they just didn't execute. I didn't think Tennessee came in with a bad game plan. I thought that the better team took advantage, which is where I agree with you, because I've heard you say this plenty of times. Like, I just think the better team always takes advantage of the other team's mistakes. Like, I don't know if Nick Saban ever preached that to you guys or not, but I do remember you saying that a few times.
Yeah, no, it's all about capitalizing. That's why I always say, like, you can mention that, like, yes, Tennessee had their, fair share of, self-inflicted wounds, things that they messed up on, but you also tip your hat to our guys capitalizing on those moments, right? Sometimes people don't capitalize on stuff. We've been doing a nice job capitalizing. So, two things can be true. I'm always a firm believer of that. It's not always so black and white like people like to paint stuff. I mean, a lot of times it's a little bit of both with a number of things.
Here's my thing about South Carolina, though. I think that Alabama can actually, like, make a lot of mistakes. I just don't feel like South Carolina this year is good enough to capitalize on it. That's where I disagree with Corey in the trap part of it, or whatever he wants to call it. I just don't think that Shane Beamer has the offensive staff to really take advantage of like Alabama if we were to make like a bunch of mistakes, which I don't. That obviously could happen. Like, right? Like, I'm not like dismissing that. Like, we still talk about how we can like improve week to week. So I just don't think that's the one thing I didn't agree with your dad on. Like, South Carolina just ain't it. For whatever reason this year, they just aren't it at all, for me at least, from what I've seen.
Oh, wait, hold on. I hope you don't think I was talking about you when I was talking about call in if you disagree. I wasn't talking about you or anybody. I wasn't talking about anybody in our YouTube chat. If it, I just want to be clear. No. I think there's people that called other shows or something. They were upset with some of his takes on the game. I'm like, dude, which should be fair. It's hard to get on our line sometimes. I'm like, dude, the whole point of him coming on here is to create some back and forth. Like, half the time he like that's the exciting part. People want more back and forth. We're not supposed to sit on here and say the same. That's boring, man.
I
think people forget what sports talk radio, sports entertainment. It's about disagreeing on things. It's about debate. Like, I feel like we're in such a society where we're so soft, man. If someone says something you don't agree with, instead of just debating it or talking about it, like,
exactly,
you would just whine.
Exactly. How many times have me and KJ got up on here like disagreeing with Corey?
All the time, and it's fun. Like, that's what makes it exciting.
It's fun.
Yeah, like, I think that's why you guys enjoy it.
Like, it's, Like, we think exactly. It's, we think it's great. Yeah. Oh, I mean, and by the way.
Go ahead.
No, like, I just wanted to say it's also an honor to get trolls. Like, that just means you're on your way up. Like, I see the same thing with, like, I even see the same thing with, like, Josh Pate every week. Like, with him and his JP poll and everybody that claims they watch the show. And he has to explain in detail what, like, a power rating is versus a ranking every single week. And they still troll him. So I just think that's just a sign that, like, hey, my dog made it. He getting trolled now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, look, I've just learned, I mean, the thing people got to remember, no one's God, right? No, we can't predict exactly what's going to happen. All I do is I try to analyze things based off of my football experience, my knowledge of the game, and what I see on tape. You know, y'all hear me, I throw out numbers. I like, because again, numbers can paint part of the picture. It might point some things out for me to go look at, but then I go off of what I see. I trust my eyes. I go off of the tape. And, again, then I mean, everything's going to play out perfect, but I would argue that I feel like I do my due diligence, and majority of the stuff I say is pretty damn spot on, but there might be a time I'm wrong, and I have no problem owning that, but I think it's just funny when some people just think, like, oh, well, if something's not exactly how they see it, then, oh, you're wrong, don't mind, dude.
Well, nothing is absolute, right? But, like, you got to – at some point, like, you playing at the highest level, both at the collegiate level and the NFL, that got to mean, like, something, like, when you challenging someone on their expertise. So it's just like,
you would think, like,
right? I don't agree with everything Corey says until, like, y'all actually start talking. And I stopped doing that because last year I made the mistake of, like, just assuming what we were supposed to be, and like your dad was pretty much like spot on going through the season. He told us he told us like it wouldn't be easy playing in Norman. He told us that like we would struggle in some of these games. I kind of just stopped questioning it because of like what I thought was supposed to happen versus like guys with actual experience playing at that level.
Well, and I'll tell you what it is, too. What also helps is, I mean, like, we watch a lot of football. I mean, I watch a lot of tape. He watches a whole bunch of games. I mean, that's what it can. He sits in the cigar shop, and he's watching football 24/7. So that's why I always say, well, man, try to listen to people that watch the game and know the game and aren't just reading numbers. Because I'm just – y'all can do that. Well, y'all can just Google stats and numbers all day. I mean, like, there's plenty of them out there.
It's still different because even if I watch a game every single day, I have not played linebacker at the highest level at all. I couldn't read a playbook like in detail like you guys could. Like there's certain things that you guys see that would just go right over my head. I don't care if I've been watching football for 32 years. Like that means nothing because I haven't actually been on the field and like experienced it. Like firsthand, and that's not to say that you can't like learn or anything like that, but like sometimes people just be forgetting that we just fans, bro.
Hey, but let me give you some credit. Let me give you some credit though. You've learned a lot. I'm not gonna lie, Ricky. I feel like you've learned a lot about the game. I mean, whether it's from
man, why you, know, you think you just, that is?
Yeah, because obviously you're intuitive. You ask a lot of questions. Well, I appreciate that. No, seriously, I feel like you've definitely you learned a lot. You know, but you're right. But I've always said I don't want to sound that guy. It's like, oh, well, if you didn't play, you can't. But I do agree with you. I mean, people that have played, especially at those levels, I mean, you're naturally just – I mean, again, we were living it, right? Like, when I tell you, I mean, like, it's almost – this sounds stupid, but sometimes it's hard to kind of get adjusted to life after football because, I mean, you're literally so used to being consumed by – oh, we got workouts and we're sitting in a meeting room and we're watching tape for several hours every single day. You're going home right. And you're reviewing plays and watching more tape. So it's like that was literally our life for years.
It's a lifestyle. So
bro, you ain't going to last if it's not, bro. You have to love the game, man. I mean, that's nowadays a little bit different, I guess, NIL. But, I mean, in terms of the pros, man, like, bro, that's a true business. NIL is a little bit different, but the pros – nah, man, you'll be out of there quick.
For a job.
Yeah, it's like you literally fight for a job. Absolutely,
man. But for sure. I'm shooting out in the middle of nowhere the rest of this week, out in the middle of the desert. So I probably won't be able to call. So let me just go ahead and say I won't give out a definite score prediction, but I will say Alabama probably wins by like 8 or more. Going into South Carolina, I feel different if it was a night game, but it's not. So I think we beat them by like 8 or more.
That's fair. Yeah, no, it's hard for me to kind of say. I mean, excuse me, on paper, I definitely think. I mean, I know the spread's like 2 scores. That's how to me, when I'm comparing these two teams, that's what it should be. I mean, it should be one of those games. But would it shock me if, you know, they're finding ways to kind of hang in there and just, you know, be scrappy, right? Doing some things that they haven't done yet. No, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's still the SEC, and Columbia is a tough place. I mean, like, bro, I was born and raised like 20 minutes down the road, man. Like, growing up and going to those games, man, it's a hell of an atmosphere. If you guys haven't been there before, man, you definitely got to go to a game there. I mean, the towels, the sandstorm.
I'm from Florida. Mm-hmm. I've never been to a South Carolina game. I have been to a Clemson game, but Florida, when I was growing up, Florida was really good. Like, the Swamp was, not too many places like louder than Gainesville. So, like, I don't, like, whether they're good or not, like, it's just, like, in the South, man, like, the college football environment is second to none. And I think that's what people, like, mean when they compare, like, the Big Ten and the SEC. It's not even about, like, how good the team is. It's just the environment of college football is just on a whole nother level, man. So I still think it'll be a hard game in South Carolina. I still got us winning by, like, 2 scores.
No, I'm with you, bro. Hey, trust me. A lot of people feel that same way. They're going to be scrappy, but I just think what we're doing right now, the way we're clicking, definitely should be a solid game for us. Ricky, man, we appreciate you as always, man. Have fun on that set, sir. That you got.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Roll Tide. All right. Let's hit a quick timeout. We come back. I think we got one more call. A couple more calls we'll get to, and we'll squeeze in this teleconference from today from head coach Kalen DeBoer right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head east for SEC action against South Carolina. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online.
Lowe's. We help. You save. Selection varies by location.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts. I know that the Tennessee game is over, but we still got a lot of people that enjoy a nice cigar. Who doesn't, right? Make sure you guys go to rnrcigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge. You still get that promotion, 20% off, all that good stuff for any of your orders on the website. Plus, you can always go in the store here, 2703. I should say the mansion, not the store. It's a mansion. 2703 Gary Fitz Street in Tuscaloosa. They're stocking back up. They got hit pretty heavy for being and rightfully so at this past weekend, but that humidor, the best humidor in the Southeast, stocking backups. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right. Oh, God. I just read a comment. I can't read that live, Carson, but that is hilarious. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Seth up next. Seth, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
What's up, Seth?
Man, you know, I've been a Gamecock since the day I was born. And went to South Carolina and graduated in 07 and then moved to Tuscaloosa with my wife. And her family's all big Alabama fans. You know, we were in Bryant Denny's smoking cigars this past weekend. But I'm heading down to the Midlands to watch my Gamecocks catch some hands.
Who are you cheering for?
I'm going to be standing there, you know, watching my boys just get hurt because Alabama's firing on all cylinders. They got it all together. And I mean, Beamer, I've been watching Beamer's press conferences, man. He just looks defeated. And like the journalists, you know, they're asking him, you know, he fired the offensive line coach. They're asking him about Mike Shula, which I didn't agree with that hire in the first place. And, you know, he's like, well, it's on me. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, if you're not the person who actively calls plays and the person who's calling your offense is doing a terrible job, like, then it's Mike Shula's fault. Mm-hmm. And they got a lot of problems that need to get addressed. And I think more people are going to get fired, especially with the way the season looks. And I mean, I hate to say it, but Alabama's going to truck us. And then if we don't beat Clemson, Beamer might as well just go and take that Virginia Tech job because they're going to be looking for his head.
Oh, yeah. If you drop to Clemson, we all know that. Well, at least me and you know. I mean, the in-state rivalry there is, I'm not saying it's quite like the Iron Bowl, but I mean, if you're from the state of South Carolina, you know, I mean, that game is up there. Yeah, it means a lot to those people in the state of South Carolina. Yeah, they, I hate overly criticizing coaches just because I know, I mean, look, if anybody could do it, they would be doing it. I mean, there's a reason these guys are in the business, and I respect coaches, but watching the tape, I'm not going to lie, I do understand the frustration. I mean, just offensively, I mean, when you got to, just like my dad said yesterday, when you have a quarterback like Lenoris and everything that he can do, I know they've got injuries up front. I know they don't have a great offensive line, but you got to get creative, man. You got to find ways, rolling him out of the pocket, implementing him more in the running game. And you don't have a running game, he's going to be your best option. You got to find ways to figure something out. And I just don't think, from what I've seen watching the tape, this is what I've seen, right? I'm not in the building there. I'm not watching every single game, but I just don't think Mike Shula has done a great job with them offensively. But I don't know. Maybe he'll come up with some. Sometimes you need that extra motivation. I mean, he's playing his former school, right, where he was a coach at. I mean, maybe he comes up with something this Saturday. But just from what I've seen, I'm not confident in that.
Yeah, I mean, unless he's got a magic wand up there in that box with him, like, we ain't going to make it.
I mean, if he replaced the offensive line magically with that wand, I mean, that'd give him a big boost. I mean, I'm hearing that allegedly some of those injured guys should be back. We'll see how much of a difference that makes. I just don't see. Again, even if he's able to find some way to have success, right? It's just, to me, there's just no way it's going to be enough output to keep up with what we're doing offensively. Like, offensively, Lenora Sellers finds a way to make magic out of nothing, I can't see it in my head that it would be enough to where their defense could be limiting our offense to that extent, too. I don't know, man. But I don't know. I never talk this positive about, like, these breakdowns. I'm getting a little nervous. I need to slow it down, man.
Well, I mean, in your defense, this one's pretty obvious. Like, I want South Carolina to win, and it ain't going to happen. I mean, that just is what it is. Like, I mean,
What Vanderbilt fans said, but I wonder if that's was. I wish I could ask some Vanderbilt fans before we played them last year, like, what were their thoughts? Like, because I'd imagine it probably was all hell, we're not going to waste our time going to this game. Bama's going to blow us out. Then. We all know how that went. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Hey, never say never, man. College football is an interesting space nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, and Williams-Brice is a crazy place to play, and their fans are always, you know, it's never the fans' fault in Williams-Brice. But, I mean, I don't see it, and maybe I'm just a doubting Thomas or whatever, but, man, it's, you know, just with, like, last year there was a lot of, like, it was almost like the Gamecocks were on this emotional high, but we had the juice to back it up. And this year, I mean, we're one or two plays away from being in the playoffs. And this year it's like, man, like once again, as a Gamecocks fan, I'm praying for bowl eligibility so Shane Beamer can get mayonnaise dumped on him. I mean, it is ridiculous. I think that if he doesn't, and some heads are going to roll, I think he goes 6-6, some heads are going to roll. And then next year, if he doesn't have something popping, we're going to be looking for somebody else. So, I mean, the more irrational South Carolina fans, not that there are any of those, they're already calling for his head. So,
this is my two cents. I like Beamer. I think he's a really good football coach. I would at least try to see, especially if you're having a lot of issues offensively, man, maybe you need to just get some fresh life there, maybe on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to call for coaching change. I'm just saying before I fire him, maybe I would at least see maybe if they know somebody or hire somebody they think could maybe fix that issue. Yeah, give it a shot.
Well, they swapped ADs, and he's not the new AD's guy. So, I mean, there's that. But I know we'll see. I'm gonna drive 7 hours to go see what happens.
Regardless, I mean, at least you got some skin in the game on both sides technically nowadays. So I mean, I know your game at heart, but it'll be a good one. It'll be a good atmosphere. You always can count on that there. Hey, Seth, we appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, man. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. You too. All right, good deal. Let's hit this timeout real quick. When we come back, we wind down on this Wednesday edition. I guess my dad's not hopping on here. He said he was hopping on here yesterday. Not on here, though. So maybe we'll get him tomorrow and get a little bit more of his thoughts on this matchup. But nonetheless, we'll hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A delightful fall day today with a sunny sky. The high for this afternoon around 71. Very cool tonight. Clear with the low at 44. Weather looks good tomorrow and Friday. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 75 and 78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This Wednesday, it's in the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9 to 1230 WTBC. Sorry, I was typing in teleconference and about mixing my words up. That said, it's 8 minutes. We can squeeze most of it in. Let's do that real quick because I do want to get to that on time. So let's do this. Let's squeeze in this last piece here. This is Kalen DeBoer from today's SEC teleconference. Let's go. Here we go.
To South Carolina on Saturday, if you could please take a moment.
Tennessee and turn around here and flip the page to South Carolina. Just a solid week going, and we got to make sure we finish it off and with our prep to be ready for a very good South Carolina team. They've been in a lot of battles, and because they're good teams and very well coached, going to be a great environment there on their homecoming.
At kind of the midway point through the season, how would you assess how your staff has progressed and grown from year one to year two, and how has that translated onto the field? And then for you personally, how would you assess how you've grown in this role from last year to this year, and how has that translated to the program as well?
Yeah, I think the staff, from year one to year two, you know, what you do is you understand your personnel, first of all. You understand you understand the league big picture wise year one, but I think when it comes to the X's and O's and the plays here and there that make a difference in winning, I think, you know, you have more experience and more knowledge, and you have the off season to prep the guys, and we've had more situational work that, you know, things we fell short on a year ago. 2 minute drill has been a big one, whether it's us offensively or defensively at the end, especially of the first half. We've been very successful. I think that's one that naturally look to. And I think just the grit of our football team is a huge compliment to how our coaches continue to work together, you know, do their job, but also own their rooms and, you know, really play as a team. And I love that about our coaching staff and the way it trickles down to our players. They fight together. They believe in each other. And I think that's a lot of what, you know, relating to myself, is I've been able to just really tap into not just the guys as a whole, but also really individually be able to know what makes one guy tick versus another. You talk to the whole team, certainly, but you also got to have, you know, just that relationship and that understanding of what makes guys go. And so I think our coaching staff gets that. We communicate very well. We're very intentional on how we go about each day, understanding, you know, the way it continues to flow, the ebbs and flows of the season certainly affect individuals. Players want more playing time, less play, you know, they don't want less play time, but they want more opportunities, and situations happen with injuries, and, you know, being able to evolve as a staff together, I think that's one of the strengths that we have.
Basically, how reuniting him with Nick Sheridan has sort of helped kind of unlock a new level of the offense, just because, you know, I know Ty Simpson was backing up last year, but it seems like he's really taken some positive strides this year with, you know, in that offense.
Yeah, certainly. I think, yeah, there's 2 years of previous experience where they were together at Washington. And so they speak the same language. You know, there's also Mitch Dolan, who is our senior analyst, and he sits in that room as well. And he's been with us going back to the Fresno State days. So there's just a lot of continuity, and they're so efficient together as a group. Understanding whether it's installation, attacking defenses, quarterback development, they're just really, it's fun watching them work. And as the week goes on, I just think that they really dial in on a game plan, and they're able to be creative, and also know that it has to all fall within the identity of who we are and who we want to be, and also our personnel. And just the relationships that the quarterbacks have in that room, I think, is a huge tribute to intentionality they have to work with each of these guys one-on-one.
Steve Fulton.
I'm doing great.
This is a tough, tough stretch that you've been on, and you're about to head into a bye week, but here we go with a non-ranked opponent on the road.
Understand, especially the ones that were here a year ago, how tough of a game this was, you know, and really South Carolina's in a similar spot, you know, with their record and the way that they finished the season and the fight that they have, you know, it was evident that they got a lot of same personnel. You know, they got a lot of preseason All-Americans and projected draft picks on that team. And, you know, we're going into their place, going to be in a great environment. So we understand the challenge, and you know, we aren't done with the stretch. We're still in the stretch, and you know, we're not thinking ahead to next week where there's a bye week. We are thinking about, we're in the middle of our season. We're in the middle of the fight, and this is where teams really separate themselves, because some just kind of try to get through the back half here. We want to keep the pedal down and really have understood how we've gotten to this point. And the intentionality, the discipline to the process that goes into each and every week being successful on Saturday.
All right. So I think there's like one more question or so, but we got to get out of here. and make room for Wyatt coming up next. Appreciate all you guys. I'll hang out here on our stream for a second if you guys got any last questions since we're jumping off here quick. But that'll do it for us on the Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Look forward to doing it all again tomorrow.